chapter 10, and we'll look at a few scriptures and see what the Lord might reveal to us. Matthew chapter 10. Now, the 10th chapter of Matthew is where Jesus calls his disciples, gives them authority, and then it says he sent his apostles out. And this was their first missionary journey, you might say, that they were to go out. But I'm going to start with verse 16. But this not only applies to those that he sends out, but it applies to us who spiritually he's... And this is what we're having here, is God is preparing us. And the next thing he's going to do is send us out. He puts himself in us so that he can flow through us. Verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, you may have already experienced some wolves in your life already. I know I have. But be wise as serpents. Don't be a serpent. Be wise as serpent. Harmless as dove. In the Greek, that word harmless means unmixed or innocent. Harmless as dove. A dove represents a purity. See? So you say, be unmixed. In other words, get rid of the flesh nature that hinders. 17, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." Now, in that day when Jesus was speaking this, there were no churches. So we know when he's talking about councils and synagogues, he's talking about religious folks. He's talking about in today's world would be churches. "And you shall be brought before governors, pastors, kings for my sake, the church hierarchy, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up," in verse 19, "take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak." That's a good one to remember. When you're put on a spot, don't worry about what you're going to have to say, because it'll be given to you. However, there's a qualification to that. We need to have spiritual ears.
And the Word within us, too.
Right. That's right. He's going to speak. We have to be able to hear. And, like you say, the Word in us, each one of us is a well of water. And he draws from the well and brings forth the water of the Word. Verse 20, "For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you." That's where we want to get. The Spirit of your Father which in you, that means you now have a relationship with the Father. You can have a relationship with the Spirit, but then you advance and get a relationship with the Lord himself, and you continue to advance until you have that relationship with the Father. And then it shall be the Father in you that speaks. Verse 21, "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child. The children shall rise up against their parents, cause them to be put to death." That particular verse points historically to about 73 A.D. when Roman general Titus came against Jerusalem and just destroyed it and killed people unmercifully. However, there's also a spiritual implication here. "The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child, the children shall rise up against their parents, cause them to be put to death." That, to me, sounds a lot like what's happening today. There's such a hatred. "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, for he that endures to the end shall be saved." Now, what is the end? You endure to the end of time? Didn't the Lord say, "I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last"? When you come to the end here, it's talking about when you come to Christ. He that endures until he becomes a part of the Christ shall be saved. Verse 23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. Cities always represent churches. Flee ye to another. Verily I say unto you, you shall not go over the cities or churches of Israel or spiritual Israel till the Son of Man be come. The ministry is important. There's a way in which as you minister, Christ comes forth in you. If you're not functioning, then nothing happens within you. It's as you function, as you're giving out, then He comes in. You asked a question one time, how do we appropriate? We appropriate by giving. The giving, that begins the flow of Christ in you, when He's flowing through you. And that's what it's talking about here. You shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Erkamai, a continual coming. Verse 24, the disciple is not above his Lord. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. We won't ever get above him. However, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. We are to become as he is. This is the objective that we have. And if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Whoa. We're going to get exalted just like Christ did. They're going to hate us because they hated him. Fear them not, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Well, you see that in different ways. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. And nothing hid that shall not be known. But the things of the Lord, the mysteries that we went over, all of those mysteries have been hid, but they shall be revealed. They shall be known, and they're going to be revealed to us that we might accomplish the will of God. Verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. What I tell you in darkness, we know our times of darkness. Times of darkness are like times when I just don't know. The knowledge that you feel like you need is not there. And as a darkness, I'm not able to understand. But what I tell you in the darkness, though the darkness doesn't feel good, you don't particularly like it, but it's in those dark times that the Lord often speaks to you. And what He speaks to you, you speak it in the light, because as you speak it, it's going to brighten things and the darkness will go away. Verse 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What is that talking about? Well, the Lord is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, isn't He? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Don't put yourself down and say, I'm not worth anything. To God, you are worth something. He gives a worth to every man. 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I think there's something there beyond what just lies on the surface. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father. What do you think that means, to confess Him before men? Well, that which emanates from our lives should reveal Christ. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father.
That confess part has got to be more than just the words, because if the life doesn't follow the words...
That's what I meant by...
Yeah, the emanations. The
emanations out from you,
so that's
of
what,
the Christ that is within you. And to deny Him is to not have
right.
that outflow of His presence.
Right, so there's got to be more to that than just, as you said, on the surface.
Yeah, I think so.
It's what's coming from your life.
34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Anybody experienced that yet?
Yeah, every day.
So, but He's the Prince of Peace. He's coming forth in me to bring peace. No, He isn't. He's going to bring a division between your spirit and your soul, between your flesh and what He is bringing forth in you. There's not going to be any peace until the flesh nature is done away with. And that sword is a sword word. The word is a sharp two-edged sword to divide between soul and spirit. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now that sounds strange, because we know that God says, thou shalt honor your father and your mother. So what is He talking about here? To set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against his mother. Among the people of the East, those of Israel and the Jews in particular, their thoughts were that anything that caused them to be a certain way was like a father or a mother to them. Anything that they produced by themselves, that was their daughters and their offsprings, you see. So when the Lord said, set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against his mother, something, those things that are responsible for making you what you are that need to be gotten rid of.
Yeah.
So it's not talking about your literal father, your literal mother. We got that? And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Somebody read that.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
This earthly house, this is what He's talking about mm-hmm. here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. The things of our household are the things that are within us. All those ites that had to be gotten rid of. A man's foes or enemies shall be they of his own household. The things that we've learned that. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We're raised in certain ways, with certain education, certain influences, things of the world. And if we love that more than we love the Lord.
Right.
See, that has been our father and our mother because it has made us what we are. And the daughter or son or things that we have produced is the same type of thing. 38, he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. Now we know what that means. That's the dying out of self. 39, he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, we lose that self-life and we gain his life. 40, he that receives you receives me, he that receives me receives him that sent me. All right. 41, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So according to who you receive and how you receive them makes a big difference. Whosoever shall give to drink, oh wow, unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say to you, he shall not in no wise lose his reward. Who are the little ones? I think the little ones are the ones that have gotten rid of pride, arrogance. They don't think more of themselves than they ought to think. You know what I'm saying. The poor in spirit. They're the little ones. So actually, they wouldn't be babes in Christ, they would be the mature in Christ, but they have lost the self-life.